Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. An awful lot of heated rhetoric in the weeks leading up to this week's debt deal. Did you hear it? Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. But some people that we didn't hear so much from, the Republicans who want President Barack Obama's job. The frontrunner Mitt Romney mostly stayed on the sidelines before coming out against the debt deal. Former Ambassador John Huntsman was the only one of the Republican candidates who gave it a grudging nod, with everyone else in the Republican field saying it didn't cut enough. But is positioning themselves to the right of a Congress that has now hit its highest disapproval rating in history a wise strategy? Joining me to discuss this is New York Magazine National Affairs editor John Heilman, author of a cover story this week on the Huntsman-Romney rivalry. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrea.
So, John, let's tease out the debt deal. This became a huge, all-consuming national issue. Some might say it has been contributing to this summer's heat wave. But the Republican candidates, how is it that they sort of sidestepped getting involved?
Well, they sidestepped it in the very simple way that Republicans on a presidential campaign trail can, which is to just not talk about it, and when asked about it, try to avoid talking about it as much as possible. I think that the rationale here is you in the intro you mentioned something about trying to get themselves to the right of the Republicans in Congress. I think it's more that for most of the presidential candidates on the Republican side is they want to get themselves as far away from Washington and anything that's produced in Washington as possible. And they also, none of them really, except for John Huntsman, who came out in favor of the deal, all of them are, I think, were very concerned about the notion of having to own this deal and its inevitable consequences going forward. So if you were Mitt Romney, for instance, and you decided to endorse this deal, you're not only endorsing the deal, you're endorsing the consequences of the deal. So when the super committee meets and has to hammer out cuts or tax revenues going forward, you're kind of in for that too. You've kind of supported the debt deal itself and its consequences going forward, or else you have to explain, well, I was for the debt deal, but in fact, I didn't really want to see the super committee, and I didn't want to see what comes out of the super committee, and I don't want to be part of that. So for all of them, they have an incentive to try to keep their fingerprints off anything that comes out of Washington, D.C. They are all better off being seen as being outsiders and having nothing to do with this kind of horrible scene that's playing out in the Capitol.
So they sort of want to avoid the John Kerry, big problem that he had when he said, I was for it before I was against it.
Yes. I mean, one of the great advantages of being a presidential candidate and not being a legislator, Michelle Bachmann is one of the rare exceptions in this case, right? She's the only one who's holding a seat in the House of Representatives. Everybody else has the advantage of not being part of it, and so if they're not part of it, they're going to take full advantage of that and not have to twist themselves into the contortions and into the hard stances that being a legislator entails.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you just brought up, the issue of sort of being responsible for the consequences of this. The New York Times CBS poll out today had some interesting numbers in it. I mean, aside from saying that Congress's disapproval rating was at an all-time high, or at least a high since they began taking this poll, and that the president had sort of, not really gained but not necessarily lost, I thought it was interesting when it sort of got to the issues, because most of the people who responded to the poll said that it was more important to be focusing on the economy and jobs than the cutting the debt, which, has sort of really taken over Washington, cutting the debt. And yet people also sort of, more people than not approved of the spending cuts in the deal. So I wonder sort of as that plays out over the next 2 years, I mean, it's phenomenal when you think about the way the political landscape shifted just from 2008. And there's a long way to go until the election in 2012. And I'm wondering whether, sort of did the Republicans play this debt card too soon? And are they, as a consequence, going to have to be kind of talking about it at the same time they're trying to win a presidency, when it may be the thing that people don't care as much about in November of 2012?
Well, there's a lot of questions wrapped in that question. Look, First, let's start with the question of public opinion. And you know, this has been a consistent through line. It's from the beginning of the Obama administration, which is that the main thing that the public cares about is jobs and the state of the overall economy, but jobs in particular, right? There's a jobs crisis in America. People in America know that we have an unemployment rate of, as of today, with the jobs report that came out, of 9.2%. We have a real unemployment rate probably of around 15%. It's bad out there, right? And people are focused on that in their daily lives in a way that they're not focused on any other abstract thing. That has been something that that was true in the first 2 years of the Obama administration, and yet the administration, rather than focusing on the jobs crisis, focused largely on health care reform to its detriment in the end, politically speaking. Republicans campaigned in 2010 largely against, as they often do, against big government, against spending, against the issues of debt and accumulating debt and the widening deficit. They got elected in a pretty big landslide in November 2010, and a lot of, especially the Tea Party freshmen, came to Washington feeling like they had a mandate to do one thing, which was to make government smaller. And they have pursued that with a single-minded, relentless focus. Really, not the entire Republican Party, but particularly the ones who were elected last year and campaigned very strongly on this question. So they feel like they were following principle. But again, in just the same way as the Obama administration got in trouble when it took its eye off politically again, when it took its eye off the jobs ball and focused instead on the health care ball, Republicans run that same risk, I think, and that's what I think what you're alluding to is the notion that they have found themselves, for reasons that you can understand, given the way that a lot of them campaigned last year and how they feel, why they feel they were sent to Washington, but they have focused exclusively, largely on this debt and spending issue when, as you point out rightly, the issue that people care about most is jobs. The problem is that for Barack Obama, it would be an ideal situation to try to take advantage of that by focusing on jobs himself if there was much that he can do, and this is a longer discussion, but he is the idea that there's going to be some significant jobs program between now and Election Day 2012 is virtually nil. So it's going to be an interesting challenge to see how the White House tries to capitalize on what they think of as the Republicans having overplayed their hand on spending and debt.
And actually, we're going to be talking about that in our very next segment, sort of, you know, what is left for the White House to do, given the parameters set by the deficit deal. But I want to talk a little bit about the Republicans. You've been out on the trail with some of them. And, you know, one of the things that always struck me about Mitt Romney covering his campaign in 2008 was that it was very unclear who he was. And that was something that voters seemed to sort of sniff out. You know, was he the kind of moderate Massachusetts governor who was a fiscal conservative but believed in government reform, aka, you know, his Romney care, or was he a super conservative guy who was going to go out and campaign against abortion and against gay marriage? And he didn't really get very far in 2008. And in 2012, he seems in some ways to be a stronger candidate in terms of his skills, but he still has this sort of fundamental question of who he is. And I'm wondering whether, you know, that is something that you think, having watched him up close, is something that he can overcome.
Well, there's no doubt that in 2008, the question of authenticity, if you look at it from the other side, the question of phoniness, you know, was at the core of a lot of Romney's problems. He was a guy, you said voters could sniff this out. It wasn't very hard to sniff out, especially with the help of his rival campaigns, who produced, you know, YouTube videos that would show you where he stood in the middle of the previous decade on certain issues, or a few years earlier, and where he now stood on those issues. He did a lot of contorting of himself from having been a relatively moderate, relatively pragmatic governor of Massachusetts who'd run the way Republicans tend to run and govern in Massachusetts, a very blue state, into being trying to be the most conservative guy in the race on virtually everything. So he changed his position on a number of things, on a lot of social issues, on a lot of other issues. And so there was this, you know, people, the flip-flopper label got attached to Romney, and that was very much to his detriment in 2008. He is trying to solve that problem in some sense this time by being very single-minded and relentless in his focus on only one issue. issue, which is the economy. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, everyone assumes that the economy is going to be the biggest single issue in 2012, and everyone also perceives the economy as the biggest vulnerability that Barack Obama has as a general election nominee of his party coming forward in 2012. So the Romney campaign has tried to do fundamentally, tried to get rid of all these questions about what does Mitt Romney stand for on a variety of things, and just say, look, we are the economy candidate. This is a guy, he's got a business background, he's been a governor, he understands the private economy, he ran Bain Capital, he's done all these things in the private sector, he understands the big machine that makes the economy run in a way that Barack Obama doesn't. That is what they want to talk about, and they've talked about really almost nothing else. But the residual questions around Romney's core, who is this guy, what does he believe, they still sort of linger, and it's a narrative that he's going to have to deal with as he goes forward. And this thing on the debt vote raised that again, because he basically hung back, as we were talking about earlier, he hung back on the sidelines, not saying anything throughout the entire debate, and then literally on the last day suddenly comes up and kind of almost as if Sarah Palin criticized him for doing this, kind of holding his finger, figuring out where the wind was, and then comes down at the last minute. That feeds that negative narrative of this guy doesn't really believe in anything except what's expedient, and that's a big narrative that they're going to have to deal with as they go forward and try to secure both the nomination and ultimately the White House.
So there's a straw poll next week. Are we going to see that his support is a mile wide and an inch deep?
Well, you know, the Romney campaign, as you will remember, having covered it last time around, was very focused on doing well in Iowa in 2008, and they won the straw poll in 2008, although Mike Huckabee's surprising second place in the Ames straw poll in 2008 kind of catapulted him into a different league of candidate, put him in the first tier, and put him in a position to ultimately beat Romney in Iowa in 2008, which was a huge blow to the Romney campaign. They had spent $25 million in Iowa, which is a lot of money out there, and when Huckabee won, and won by a mile in Iowa, it more or less dealt the death blow to the Romney campaign last time around. So the Romney people this time are really not playing in a full-on way in Iowa. They are not out like John Huntsman, who's not competing there at all, but they are also not fully in, and they are trying to manage, you know, they're not spending a lot of money there, and they're also trying to manage expectations, sort of saying, look,
can you say have it both ways?
We'll leave this to yes. Well, what they'd like to do, they'd like to do what John McCain did in 2008, which is not really compete in Iowa, but sort of not abandon it completely, and then sneak in and have a sort of surprise third place or maybe even second place finish. That's where the Romney people would like to go. They will not do that well, I think, in the Ames straw poll. The people who've been focusing on that mainly have been the candidates who need to win in Iowa in order to be viable candidates, and those are Michelle Bachmann and Tim Pawlenty. That's like it's the straw poll is really more or less a head-to-head battle between those two campaigns, and with a little bit of a Ron Paul effort going on there also. So that's what we're going to see, I think, when the straw poll happens. And if Tim Pawlenty does not win the straw poll, there's a reasonable chance that he'll be out of the race relatively soon. I think Michelle Bachmann is now kind of the favorite to win that straw poll. If she doesn't win, people will start to wonder whether she was kind of a supernova who's already starting to burn out. And then, of course, there is hovering just off stage the Texas Governor Rick Perry, who looks like he will be getting into the race in the next few weeks and will, I think, totally transform the Republican nomination fight.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer, talking with John Heilman, the national affairs editor of New York Magazine, about the Republican field. And it's a bit unfair to do, John, but, you know, I mean, Obama really, you know, he got a big beating this week. I mean, I'm sort of amazed that his disapproval ratings haven't gone up, because it doesn't seem that his base is happy. The Republicans say that the deal didn't go far enough. And, you know, it just seems that he's just getting sort of hit all around and looking vulnerable and looking, you know, kind of weak. But who in this Republican field, you know, you can't beat somebody with nobody. So I'm wondering sort of who in this Republican field do you see as somebody who can sort of actually make an argument against Barack Obama in 2012?
You sure about that, Andrea? Sure you can't beat it?
This week has caused me to wonder. It really has. But usually, if you look at history, you know, you'll see that the person who wins in the presidential campaign turns out to be somebody who, you know, is authentically themselves and who has a rationale. And it was true of Obama, and it was true of George W. Bush, and it was true of Bill Clinton. You know, these were all people who had a narrative that sort of lasted from beginning to end.
Yeah. I mean, it's all true. I mean, I think, look, there's it is a little bit of an unfair question in the sense that I wouldn't want to say who I think. Yeah, look, I actually think that there are many Republicans, and let me try to answer it this way. The most important thing that is true about incumbent elections of sitting presidents is that they are generally referendums on those sitting presidencies. So in a context where President Obama is going to be running in a little bit more than a year, Election Day of 2012, the administration assumes that the unemployment rate is going to be about 8.5%. There are a lot of people in the private sector financial forecasting world who think it could be above 9. If the president's running for reelection with a economic record where he has shown no net job gain basically over the entire 4 years, which is likely of his administration, of his first term, and has never seen unemployment below 8%, it would be historically unprecedented. It has never happened in the history of our country that an incumbent running with that kind of economic record has ever been reelected. And so if you ask, how does a Republican win without being all the things that you just said reasonably, you know, authentic and this and that and the other thing, they win by saying this is a failed experiment. This president has not accomplished really very much of anything on the most important thing that he has to do, which is to, you know, manage the economy of the country. And I think if the scenario in which a Republican wins is a scenario in which the Republicans manage to nominate someone who is more or less acceptable to the country, who doesn't scare people away, who's acceptable to swing voters and moderate suburban voters, who's not a hot polarizing candidate, someone like Mitt Romney, someone like John Huntsman, who seems to be competent and non-threatening, and in being those things, manages to make this race all about Barack Obama and Barack Obama's economic stewardship, the Republicans have a reasonable chance of winning, and they have a reasonable chance on the historical precedent of doing it because, as I say, it's very hard to run in the economy and with the record that Obama is going to have. Now, the White House is going to fight in a very, very relentless and aggressive way to not have this election be a referendum on Barack Obama. They are going to try to do, as George W. Bush did in 2004, to turn what should be a referendum into a choice election. And so they will spend most of their time next year trying to define whoever the Republican candidate is as unacceptable to the American people in a variety of ways. And so, I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but right, I think what people can brace themselves for is, I think, an extraordinarily negative campaign on the part of the White House in the way that it's going to try to render whoever the Republican nominee is as unacceptable.
All right, and we're going to have to leave it there. John Heilman is the author of the cover story this week on the Huntsman-Romney rivalry, and we'll have to sort of leave that as an open question about whether Huntsman, amidst all the sort of campaign disarray, is going to emerge as the sort of other Utah Republican business guy in the race. You can go read his article and decide what you think. Thanks so much, John Heilman.
Thanks, Andrea.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. When we come back, we will talk more about what the White House's options are after the debt deal to improve the economy.